Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Frank Andrews Show on WILK News Radio.
The 8th Congressional District, which is a big chunk of northeastern Pennsylvania, about 700,000 constituents. Matt Cartwright is the incumbent, and Jim Bognett is a Republican challenger, and he's on the line with us right now. Jim, thanks for joining us. How are you, sir?
Frank, thanks for having me on for our first extended conversation. I'm doing great.
Good. It's going to be extended. So we have lots to talk about. Can you begin, just for the sake of our audience, just talk a little bit about yourself and why you decided to run and challenge an incumbent?
Well, my name's Jim Bognett. I live here in Hazleton, Pennsylvania. Grew up playing sports up here in a big Italian family. My grandfather's an Italian immigrant, worked in the coal mines. I was lucky, Frank. I learned how to work hard at a young age. I worked for my dad and family's construction business, digging ditches, pouring concrete, and really learned how to get along with a lot of different kinds of people. I learned the value of having diverse opinions and learned the value of getting sweaty and getting in there in a ditch and working it. Got a education at Penn State University, was lucky enough to get a scholarship there, worked really hard to try to become successful to help my community. And when I saw Matt Cartwright, my opponent, vote to impeach the president, I just said, Northeastern Pennsylvania, we have very conservative values. We're pro-life. We're pro-Second Amendment. When I see somebody stand up and try to impeach the president, I just didn't think he fit our district. I didn't think he understood the working man. We were having the best economy in many, many years. And to try to kick the president out of office the way Mr. Cartwright did, I just decided that that wasn't going to work for me, and I put myself forward, and we've had an incredible year campaigning all over the place. We have a really excited population that can't wait for November, and I think we're going to elect a new congressman and reelect the president.
So the vote to impeach Donald Trump was the tipping point for you.
It was. You know, I was unhappy with a lot of things, what Mr. Cartwright was doing with trying to make it harder for trucking companies by increasing the liability protection they needed so his family's firm could sue more trucking companies. I didn't like what he had done on jobs. We've been behind the rest of the country as long as he's been in office for 8 years. He hasn't done much. But when he voted to kick the president out of office over a phone call, that in the end meant very little, that's when I decided that he shouldn't be representing us.
Now, I believe it was Real Clear Politics and Politico said that the 8th Congressional District was one of the toss-up races, you know, and you jumped in and you're getting lots of national attention. I'm just curious, are you getting support from the National Republican Committee?
Well, we're happy. We've been getting support all over the country. When I get, $5 contribution from Western PA, or somebody writes a nice little note and sends me $15 from Oklahoma, it means a lot. The NRCC is fully behind us. They made me one of their young guns, which means this is one of our best opportunities to pick up a seat so we could take the House back and send Nancy Pelosi back to San Francisco where she can't hurt us anymore. So we are getting great support from National Republicans, and our goal is to turn the House red again.
Okay. I want to begin where I did with Matt Cartwright yesterday, and that is the whole concept of defund the police, the riots, the looting, the craziness that's going on. I'd like your position, sir.
I support the police 100%, 1,000%. You know, I have friends of mine, Frank, that played football and baseball with me at Hazleton High School. Every morning they wake up, they put on a uniform, and they leave their families to go and protect our families. And to think that we're not going to back them, that's a horrible thought. I back the blue. My opponent, Mr. Cartwright, he was asked, he talks about it all the time, tries to deny it, he was asked if he thought we can cut the funding for the Wilkes-Barre Police Department. And his answer was, absolutely yes. That's literally what he said. We can cut the funding for the Wilkes-Barre Police Department. I don't believe we can cut the funding for our police departments. When I see what's happening in Kenosha and Rochester and Portland, there's anarchy. They have lost control under liberal Democratic mayors. And, you know, I wait for Matt Cartwright and Nancy Pelosi to get up and declare a special session of Congress and pass some laws that says if you don't keep peace in your city, if you don't protect business owners, we're going to pull your funding. They've done nothing. They've stood aside why those areas have burned, and I think we have to back the blue, Frank.
Well, this program is very big on backing the blue. We do an annual Law Enforcement Appreciation Day, and I keep thinking we need to do more. That's for sure. But yesterday, Mr. Cartwright made it very clear on this program that he is not in favor in any way of unfunding or defunding the police, and he actually said that your campaign distorted his position on that Wilkes-Barre situation, that he basically said places like Wilkes-Barre and in Congress have the power to decide how public funds are spent on the police. But he said he does not support the idea of defunding the police. So I'm just wondering, I mean, it turned out to be a pretty pointed statement that he made yesterday.
Well, I have a few statements, Frank, that I think we could talk about. I mean, actions speak louder than words. And let me tell you about some of Mr. Cartwright's actions. He voted to strip police of qualified immunity. He voted for the George Floyd Act, which would strip police of qualified immunity, which means law firms like his family could sue police officers that are there to protect us. Think about that. He wants to have his family's law firm be able to make money off of suing police officers for doing their duty and trying to protect us. I mean, it's unbelievable how when Mr. Cartwright gets caught giving in to the Pelosi, AOC, Ilhan Omar liberalism, how quickly he tries to backpedal. I mean, we have it on tape where he says, absolutely yes, we can cut funding for the Wilkes-Barre Police Department. I haven't seen him come out and disavow these big city mayors who let people get out of jail over and over again and go and commit more crimes. I haven't seen him disavow any of the protests. I didn't hear him. I listened to him for 40 minutes on your show yesterday. I didn't hear him say those people ought to be in jail, that it's unbelievable how they've been allowed to behave, knocking over tables in restaurants, going out shooting policemen. Shooting policemen. I haven't heard any condemnation from him of that. I would like to, but he won't debate. He won't come out and play. And he wants to talk about dishonesty. His first campaign ad had a fake website that purported to be my website. It had my name in it and had my picture on it. It was a totally farcical, made-up website that he put in a TV ad. So when he talks about dishonesty, I think he's projecting, Frank.
Now, yesterday I asked him what he considered some of his accomplishments, and I will ask you, if you were elected, what would you want to accomplish, Jim?
Jobs. We need jobs. You know, I remember growing up in construction here in the 80s. We had a booming economy building factories. We did a lot of work in the Humboldt Industrial Park, the Valmont Industrial Park, up in Crestwood, up in Wilkes-Barre, up in Scranton. We were building these great big factories. And then you know what happened? China started dumping products on us. China started with their unfair trade practices, and we started losing those jobs. My whole focus would be on economic development and bringing jobs to this area. We want the good jobs so that your children and grandchildren, Frank, can stay in this area and have great jobs to work at. So I support fracking and energy exploration so we can have good jobs. I support vocational training for people that don't want to go to college, that want to learn a great skill, get right in it. You know, my family's firm is a union construction firm. We do plumbing, we do heating, we do general contracting. There are good jobs out there that people of all different educational attainments can get after. So we need to bring more of those jobs back. So I will be laser focused on bringing jobs to northeastern Pennsylvania.
Jim, while we're talking, people are texting, and you know it's ironic. You had called my show not too long ago to specifically address this subject, but I have at least 15 texts that are saying, "Please ask him again about the rain tax."
The rain tax is one of the worst taxes ever. You know, and I'm so happy we have leaders in northeastern Pennsylvania. You, Frank Scavo, many of our political leaders on the Luzerne County Council that have went hard against the rain tax. You know, we need to get rid of the rain tax. Can you imagine, Frank, that Barack Obama, who was a horrible president, who Matt Cartwright supported, he signed an executive order that started this whole rain tax process. And now we have some of our senior citizens, some of our business owners who literally are on the brink of bankruptcy because they have to pay the rain tax. We need to get rid of the rain tax. And you know, that's another thing I'd say about Mr. Cartwright. He talked yesterday like he was a challenger, like he hadn't been in Congress for 8 years. Frank, can you tell me what Matt Cartwright has done to end the rain tax? Can you tell me how many times Matt Cartwright has led a march through downtown Luzerne County to end the rain tax? This has been going on for 8 years, and we have to end it. He doesn't have many accomplishments, but I'll tell you, I will focus on the rain tax. My first ad on the radio on your station, Frank, was called Rain Tax Revolution, calling on people to get together to get rid of the rain tax. And once we get through COVID this year, that's going to be a big, big focus for me next year in Congress.
Yes, it was pointed out to me only about 100 times that you wore an end the rain tax mask when the president came.
I did. It was loud and proud, Frank. Loudly and proudly, I wore that mask because I knew there was a good chance that when I was greeting the president at the steps of Air Force One, there'd be some pictures. And I wanted the president to know, and I wanted all the viewers and listeners to know that we have to end the rain tax. That's very important to me.
Now, obviously, you are a supporter of President Trump. What are your thoughts on this whole Woodward book and all the stuff that he's getting roasted for right now?
Well, you know, when I think about the military, Frank, I think about my grandparents. My grandmother, Marie Murray, was born in McAdoo, Pennsylvania, served in World War II as an Army nurse over in England. She was an Army captain as a woman in the 40s. Think about that. And she met my grandfather, who was a tail gunner off the USS Saratoga at a USO dance right after they got discharged in 1945 or 6. And my mom was born in 1948. I literally wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for our amazing military. And as we celebrate September 11th tomorrow, and I think about the sacrifices that our military is made, my hat goes off to everybody, all our veterans. I believe President Trump loves our veterans. I see what he's done to rebuild our military, to make sure it's funded better than any place ever. I see how he's kept us out of wars. He's kept us out of wars, which most presidents of the last 30 years can't say. We've started no new wars. We haven't ramped up any of the conflicts that we found ourselves in. He's used very targeted means when there's a terrorist leader or Soleimani, the Iranian terrorist, to take them out. But man, I've lost friends. I've lost friends in our wars. And when we go to war, that's a problem. So I'm really happy that the president has had our military's back. On the coronavirus, you know, I called for a shutdown, a total shutdown of flights from China on January 29th. And a few days after that, the president did put a shutdown on flights. I feel like the president responded quickly in that area. You know, I know that there's been all sorts of attacks back and forth. I can remember seeing people on the other side, Pelosi and the mayor of New York, saying, hey, go out to Chinatown parade in early March. You know, it's tough in a pandemic. We haven't had this since 1918. Everybody's trying to come together to beat this pandemic. We have to beat this pandemic. I believe we will. I'm sick and tired of hearing about what we can't do. I think we can get back to living society safely. I think we can play Penn State football games. I think our children can go back to school, but we have to be safe. We have to be smart. We have to make sure we protect our most vulnerable. And those most vulnerable are the people in our nursing homes. And Governor Wolf sent COVID-infected patients back into our nursing homes. Over 5,000 of our seniors died. That's a national tragedy. There should be a federal investigation of that. I haven't heard Mr. Cartwright call for a federal investigation. I haven't heard Mr. Cartwright criticize Wolf and Levine at all for what they've done. I'd like to see Mr. Cartwright take some leadership about people in his own party and say, why did you let this tragedy happen here in Pennsylvania?
On the line with us is Jim Bognett. He is the Republican candidate for Congress in the 8th Congressional District. And we're honored to have him with us until 4 o'clock. Yesterday, we had Matt Cartwright with us, and we're trying to talk about the issues. Jim, apparently you struck a nerve when you talked about jobs, and a bunch of people have texted and asked your opinion on bringing jobs back from China.
Well, we have to, Frank. We have to. My whole campaign's been about making China pay. I think China's been stealing our jobs, stealing our intellectual property. They literally hack our factories, they hack our companies to get the plans for products. I mean, they're not our enemy. Or excuse me, they're not our friend. They're our enemy. They've been our enemy. And when I look at what Matt Cartwright's done, he hasn't done anything to crack down on China for 8 years. Nancy Pelosi hasn't done anything to crack down on China. Joe Biden has been in public life since 1972. I was born in 1975. Joe Biden's been in public life since 1972. China's got worse, not better. So I think we have to go after China. I think we have to put pressure on them. We have to make them respect us and not steal from us. But, you know, Frank, you were asking me the question of about jobs, and I think someone who understands what it's like to be from here and be one of us can help us get jobs back. I grew up here. You know, I drive a car with 120,000 miles on it. I know what it's like to scrimp to get by. There's been times in my adult life where I haven't had health insurance. So I know what people face when they don't have jobs, because there's been times I haven't had jobs. My opponent, he just came out and said that he misrepresented on his forms. He basically lied on his disclosure forms. He has four different houses. He had only reported three of them. Now, Frank, I can understand how you could forget about one of your four houses. I mean, there's four different ones, you know, it's hard to remember all of them. But he also didn't report that he had a private jet that he flies back and forth to D.C. on. He's been flying back and forth to D.C. on this private jet for years. Frank, have you ever forgotten that you had a private jet? Or do you know anybody around the district that has a private jet that would forget about that?
I don't have a jet.
Jim, who has a jet? That's the point, Frank. Nobody has a jet except Matt Cartwright. And I just think when you come from and you've married into and you've made extreme wealth, you know, when you're worth millions and millions and millions of dollars, it's just hard to realize how important it is to have a job. That there's nothing to fall back on for most of us. Most of us, if we don't have a job, we don't eat. And that's what, you know, being from northeastern Pennsylvania is knowing that. I mean, we still grow tomatoes to feed ourselves in the summer. We still grow a garden up here in Hazleton. I know many Italians and many other people around the area do that. So I just think you have to be one of us to really understand the problems we face. And one of the big problems we face is if you're in an industry where you use your hands, like construction or manufacturing or trucking, you know, it's been a tough time here, Frank.
Now, back to the issue of COVID. I'm just wondering if you think that Governor Wolf has handled it correctly. We have businesses that are struggling. Yesterday, we had calls from the restaurant owners that are just, you know, on the verge of just you know, cashing it in. And I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on how the whole COVID crisis has been handled in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
In a word, disastrously. I think it's been handled disastrously. We had the highest unemployment claims of any state in the country in the first week after the COVID shutdowns, more so than states like California and Texas that are double or triple our size. It's been handled disastrously. Levine and Wolf have embarrassed the state of Pennsylvania. And when they signed an order to send patients that had COVID back to our nursing homes, that was a death sentence for 5,000 people. In our state. I went on Tucker Carlson and talked about it. I just don't know how you can defend it. And then when Governor Wolf went out and said that people are morally culpable if they're business owners, that they should be morally embarrassed for wanting to get their businesses open, Frank, there's no such thing as a non-essential business. Every business is essential to the person who works there, who gets their paycheck there, who put their life savings there, and even in many cases to their customers. So I don't like vilifying businesses and employers and employees who want to get back to work. We all want to get back to work. And I just think it's been done horribly, and I think we see that again and again where Wolf doesn't want to take responsibility for stopping sports, but he says you shouldn't have sports at high school or at Penn State. I mean, they've been so, I would just say cowardly in how they've approached this. And when I see Wolf marching around in protest while we have businesses shut down or restaurants going out of business. I have a friend who lost their gym. They had to put up for sale the gym equipment because the gyms couldn't be open for months at a time. It's really devastated building and construction and restaurants. So anyway, you know, I would love to have seen Matt Cartwright provide some leadership. But, Frank, I would ask your listeners, did any of them see Matt Cartwright out talking to business owners during COVID? Or, you know, out in there in Monroe County or in Wayne County or Pike County, did Matt Cartwright show up in March, April, or May to do anything to help you? I don't think so.
Well, now, you know, some of the issues that are important to me, and I have made them issues. issues here in this program are religious freedom. When our attorney general in Pennsylvania, wanted to sue the Little Sisters, I just went crazy. Religious freedom is a big issue for me, and so is the abortion issue. And I'm just wondering, what your thoughts and what your position is on the pro-life issue.
I grew up going to church at Most Precious Blood Church here in Hazelden on Seibert Street. I was an altar boy for 10 years. We were taught, Pope John Paul II, we were taught that all life is precious, especially fetal life, especially the most, vulnerable life that we have. So I'm 100% pro-life. I think that we need to preach a culture of life, and we need to bring it forward. When I see politicians like Nancy Pelosi and Matt Cartwright who vote over and over again for the pro-choice, which I call pro-abortion standpoint, Matt Cartwright voted against the Born Alive Protection Act, Frank. It's almost amazing to say, but that act said that if an abortion was botched and a baby was born alive, that you had to care for and protect and treat that baby. And Matt Cartwright voted against it. So, that's a big thing that I talk about in our race. Like, he's just a phony. He's a phony about wanting to protect life. He's a phony about being one of us. And how can we trust this guy to protect life if he won't even vote if he won't even vote to support life? He's never voted to support life. He votes with Pelosi 100% of the time, and she's the most pro-choice, pro-abortion legislature I've ever seen.
James, I asked Matt Cartwright this question. I'm going to ask you the same question and remind you that we have about 10 minutes left, so you got about 2 or 3 minutes to answer this. What's the difference between Matt Cartwright and Jim Bugnett? What's the difference between Joe Biden and Donald Trump?
Well, I appreciate that question. I think it just all comes down to values and background. Matt Cartwright grew up wealthy. His dad was the head of GE Canada. He went to a lot of elite private schools. He owns 4 different houses. One of them's a multi-million-dollar mansion on Lake George up in New York. He even had a yacht named Mamie. Frank, who has a yacht named Mamie? He's just not one of us. I grew up digging ditches, pouring concrete, doing construction, working with my hands, having a paper route, cutting lawns. I've cut more lawns, I think, than anybody I know around the Hazelden area. So, when we'd get a big job for $200 cutting a tree down, it was like Christmas in the summer. So I come from that kind of background where we have to work and scrape for everything we've gotten. And it develops a good work ethic, and it lets you understand people from all sorts of backgrounds. And Matt Cartwright just doesn't come from that. He's led a very privileged life, and God bless him. He married the boss's daughter, and he made himself millions of dollars suing companies like, my family's company that's in construction, suing trucking companies. So God bless him that he figured out a way to make a lot of money. But I just don't think he understands what it's like to go and work a 12-hour shift at a factory. I don't think he understands what it's like to, not have 4 vacation homes, not have 1 vacation home. I don't think he understands what it's like to maybe have to tell your kids we can't go on vacation this year. And I think, you need to understand the people of Northeastern Pennsylvania to represent the people of Northeastern Pennsylvania. And I do understand them. So that's the difference there. On Biden and Trump, I just think Biden's a career politician, much like Matt Cartwright. They're both guys that are career politicians, slick talking lawyers, always, talk moderate, but then vote liberal. Vote with Pelosi, vote with AOC. You got to understand, a vote for Biden and a vote for Cartwright is a vote for AOC, Ilhan Omar, and Nancy Pelosi and Kamala Harris. It's a vote for real liberal governance. And we see in Rochester and Kenosha and Portland what you get when you put the liberals in charge. So I promise that I will have Pennsylvania values, Northeastern PA values, conservative values, not like my opponent.
Okay, conservative values. Lots of people want to know your opinion on the Second Amendment. Do you believe it's being challenged, and what are your thoughts on the NRA and the whole Second Amendment issue?
We have to protect the Second Amendment, Frank. I'm a firm believer in our sacred Second Amendment. I'm a firm believer in gun rights. I'm a firm believer that guns are not just for hunting. Guns were put in, Second Amendment rights were put into the Constitution by our founders, by Jefferson, Madison, Hamilton. They talk about it in the Federalists to protect us from the possibility of tyranny by only having one group of people with guns. And God in heaven, you see what's happening in Portland now. You understand why we need the right to keep and bear arms. Right? I mean, those people in Portland, could you imagine going to work in the morning and owning a business and the business next to you has been burned to the ground by lunatics and the business to the right of you has been, all the windows have been broken and graffiti saying we'll kill you and we'll rape your wife if you come back to work? We need the right to keep and bear arms because in the end, we need to be able to protect ourselves. So I'm a full supporter of the right to keep and bear arms. I was rated A by the National Rifle Association. Cartwright was rated F. I will fight for the right to keep and bear arms.
The election coming up, mail-in ballots. Boy, I tell you, that is a hot spot with a lot of people here. What are your thoughts on what's happening?
Well, I want people to be able to vote, but I get very worried when I hear that we're going to mail ballots out to everybody around the country. I do think I've seen evidence of voter fraud, and I do get nervous about them. On the other hand, if people are older, if people are infirm, if people are at special vulnerability for coronavirus, I want people to be able to vote. But, you know, Frank, one thing we've missed here is we haven't changed the way we conduct our elections in the advent of these mail-in ballots. Matt Cartwright, I challenged him to 5 debates. He only agreed to do one for 55 minutes, and he won't do it before mail-in voting starts. He wants to do it the last week or two of the campaign. People are going to start to vote in late September via mail-in. We could have a situation where 30 or 40 or 50% of people have voted by the time Matt Cartwright will agree to do one 55-minute debate. And I heard him on your show yesterday where he said he's done 100. I've done 100 things with people over my 8 years in Congress. That's 12 a year. That's one a month. You know, the guy wants to get another 2 years in Congress. He's made over $1 million in federal salary. A wealthy dude has taken over $1 million in federal salary. President Trump takes nothing. He gives it all to charity. But Cartwright won't do more than a 55-minute job interview. And we're going back and forth with WVIA right now. WVIA says he won't do it any earlier than October 19th. Half the senior citizens in our region might have voted by then. Why won't Matt Cartwright debate? I'll debate him anywhere, Frank. I'll debate him on your show. I'll debate him on his private plane. I'll go on his yacht named Mamie and debate him. I'll go up to his house in Lake George. We could do it on his home turf. Why won't he come out and debate a few times before mail-in ballots start so the people of northeastern Pennsylvania can actually hear what we think and what we're going to do?
Yeah, I asked him about the debates, and he did point out that he has been doing something called Coffee with Your Congressman, and he pointed that out as a way to kind of get a feel for what the people are saying. I'm curious, what are you hearing from the people in northeastern Pennsylvania? What are they saying are the major issues?
Well, I'll tell you, I was in Wayne and Pike County over the last few weeks, and you know, one of the guys in Pike County had a good line. He said, "I feel sometimes like Matt Cartwright is only the congressman for Lackawanna County. He never comes to Pike. He never comes to Wayne. He never comes out and answers our questions out here. So I'd like to have 5 debates in all 5 counties. I hear a lot of questions in Monroe County about infrastructure. When are we going to make Route 80 better? When are we going to widen it? How do we do that? In Luzerne County, it's how do we keep the blue-collar boom going that we had under President Trump before the coronavirus? And in Lackawanna County, I think there's a lot of recognition that Matt Cartwright and these national Democrats, these Nancy Pelosi, Kamala Harris Democrats, don't represent the old-school Democrats we grew up with, Frank. In the 70s and 80s, you had Democrats in Lackawanna that really cared about jobs and cared about the working man and, you know, would vote for legislation to help the working man. But now these national Democrats, these children of privilege like Pelosi and Cartwright, they don't care about the working man because they have ever been the working person. So I really think you're seeing a lot of Democrats, and I meet them every day. I met them when I was up with President Trump in Lackawanna County. They want people that represent their blue-collar values, and Matt Cartwright and Nancy Pelosi certainly don't.
Well, Jim, we are out of time. That was a lot of discussion about a lot of different issues. I hope that you'll come on the Frank Andrews program again in the future.
Frank, I enjoyed it tremendously. I'll come on every week and have the same discussion, get Mr. Cartwright back. I'll talk to you for an hour at a time. I enjoy the chance to answer your and the listeners' questions, and I'm really honored you had me on, and let me know anytime you want me back.
This is the Frank Andrews Show on WILK News Radio.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly! Auto. parts.